Thank you, Herb. It's sure a pleasure to be here.
All right. And I see another one of the interested spectators here, Mrs. Bonner McKee of near Carlisle in Warren County. Bonner was showing again this year, wasn't he?
Yes, he was again.
He's been with us quite regularly, as I recall.
I think so, for 10 years.
Have you been helping him get some of that good corn ready?
Well, I wouldn't say that I helped much.
I think you helped a little, and we want to congratulate Bonner on being among our winners again this year. We want to talk just a moment with one or two other people, and then go to John Airy, who is one of the judges we had here at the show yesterday. That young cowboy with the red hat and those two six shooters is here. We're going to settle this once and for all now. Young man, what's your name?
Johnny Calhoun.
Johnny, how old are you?
Five.
Five. Now, Johnny, I'm always a little skeptical about boys that have guns, and I'm not so sure that you should have any. Let's just make sure about those. Do those guns shoot? Do they shoot?
Sure they do.
Well, be careful now where you aim that. Let's hear it. Well, I guess that won't be so bad, Johnny. I guess you can go ahead with those guns. Over here a minute ago, we saw Governor Blue over looking at the displays, and he's over there now. We'll catch him in just a minute. Meanwhile, we've got Judge John Airy, who was with us here yesterday. John, I know the listeners would like to know a little something about what the judges look for in these single-ear and five-ear and other classes we judged yesterday in the regular show.
I'm not sure, Herb, that it's safe for anyone to try to say what all of these judges look for. I think I might highlight it, though, by saying that showmanship in the sample, whether the exhibitor selected uniform ears, ears that looked alike, whether the ears have good kernels on them, whether they show they were well-filled at the tip end, indicating maturity and development. They look for dense starch. They don't like the soft, light-colored starch in the kernel. They look at, see whether there's evidence of disease. That, of course, would count against the sample.
In other words, there are a great many factors in the determining of the champion ear and samples of corn. And then here we have the freak ear class, the most unusual ear class. Mr. Airy, would you tell what the judges would look for in this class? I see over here we've got some of the winners. Let's just pick a few of those up and take a look at them.
Well, Herb, the first winner, the ear that was given first prize, was a very unusual ear. It's short and large diameter, perhaps 4 inches in diameter, and well filled out at both ends of the ear. We thought it was most unusual and gave it first place. It was exhibited by Ray Ballamy of Frankfort, Missouri. The second place was a cluster of three ears. There are small ears, but there are three ears on the same shank, came from wherever one ear would normally be. There are three small ears developed. We thought that was most unusual. J.W. Strike of Marshalltown entered it. Third and fourth place were given to two ears of the same type, apparently a mutation toward pod corn on a part of the ear. The ear started out to be normal dent corn, and then in one case the tip end of the ear is pod, in the other case the butt end of the ear is pod development. Those two were by Mr. Harchers of Kellogg, Iowa, and Mr. Wallstrom of Spencer.
All right, John, and I noticed yesterday there was quite a bit of interest in an ear here that appeared as though it had an unusual number of rows. That is, an uneven number of rows, 21 rows as I recall. Yet I see it did not place in the winning group. What was the explanation there?
Well, we had a group of three judges, Herb, two geneticists and myself that worked on this this class. That one ear was 21 rows. We finally did not give it a placing in the class because we thought chances were pretty good that it did not occur naturally and therefore should not be considered an unusual or freak ear.
Possibly through an injury or some such reason, and so genetically it could not have had an uneven number of rows, and so it did not place. All right, John Airy?
We thought that was the case with this particular ear, at least.
All right, John. Now we want to get over here to the governor. There's quite a large crowd around him. I think we can slip over there. Let's catch this young man on the way. What's your name?
Jerry Vanderford.
Where are you from, Jerry?
Inman, Iowa.
Oh, you're down there, and it was your grandfather who was a winner here a few years ago. Oh, fine. Glad you're here. Now here we are, along with a number of our folks and a number of our friends here at the table where the champion exhibits are on display. And I'm very happy and proud to see among those looking over these displays, Governor Blue. Governor, it's a thrill to have you here. I know the listeners would like a word from you here from the Corn Show.
Well, Herb, it's very interesting to look over this Corn Show, and to particularly as we stand here at this winner's table. There's some very fine corn here. The thing that impresses me about this show and has year after year is that science in farming is really beginning to pay, and that knowing your corn as well as knowing your hogs and your cattle makes a good farmer.
That's certainly true, Governor Blue. This is our largest show, as you probably have noticed, and as I recall, you've been visiting our show at least the past 5 or 6 years. We're always happy to have you, and I notice there are quite a few of the legislators and others here with you. Would you care to make an observation as to this show compared to the others you've seen?
Well, this show seems to me to be the biggest and the best, if that's possible to be bigger and best in WHO corn shows, but this is a wonderful show, and I really think it's the finest ever put on.
Thank you, Governor Blue, and we feel the very same way, and we're certainly happy that you could be here with us. And now back again to Bobby Griffin.
Thank you, Herb, and let's switch back again over in the section of hybrid entries, and we'll hear from Gene Meyer. Gene?
Okay, Bobby. As Bill has pointed out, this ballroom is literally filled with corn. The 5 cooperating hybrid corn companies have done a marvelous job in getting entries from all over the Midwest. Altogether, there were 397 exhibitors in the hybrid section alone. Each company provided his own judge yesterday, and the classes were all placed. Winners in the various hybrid sections were, in the Vinton class, Ray Hagedorn of Peterson, Iowa, while in the Funk section, Steve Kozik of Elberon had the Grand Champion Award. In the Pioneer class, A.G. Mitchell of Packwood, Iowa had the Purple Ribbon winner, while in the DeKalb section, R.A. Mitchell of Wingate, Iowa was the winner. In the Crows section, Charles Winner of Donaldson, Iowa won that award. Each company has put up a display beside its corn, and these displays have attracted many visitors. In addition to the corn displays in this ballroom, one of the feature attractions is a large white rooster that won't crow for us right now, but a lot of people are trying to guess how many kernels of corn he will eat this afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. And I see a lady over here that's just ready to put in her ticket. Would you tell me your name, please?
Mrs. Oral Terhune.
Do you have any corn here?
No.
Well, I see you're guessing on this rooster. How many kernels do you think he'll eat?
I guess I'm 23.
Just 23? Well, that rooster's pretty hungry. You know, he hasn't had anything to eat all day. I see your husband here. How many do you think he's going to eat?
I think he'll eat 18.
18? Well, I don't know. Bill, have you been telling these people how much they're going to eat here? I think he's going to eat more than that, won't he?
No, but Gene, I think there's a rumor going around that somebody fed this rooster last night, see, and they're kind of toning down their guesses.
I see. Well, here's another couple over here. We're going to hear from them. Would you tell me your name, please?
Mrs. Floyd Smith.
Where are you from, Mrs. Smith?
Larmer.
Larmer. Do you have any corn here? Is there a husband?
Yes, we do have.
You do have. Well, now, how many kernels do you think this rooster is going to eat?
Well, I guess 465.
465? Well, somebody's going to miss there, you know that. Let's hear from your husband.
This is Mr. Floyd Smith, and I guess 200. I think the corn's good this year, and he'll eat a lot of it.
Well, he looks pretty hungry to me. We don't have much time. There are a lot of other people around here. There are some seed corn dealers and townspeople and a lot of visitors from all over the Midwest. But now we're going to turn you back to Bobby Griffin.
About 4.5. Thank you very much, Gene Meyer. Herb just came up and said, I'll have to work. Okay, get to work, Herb.
I meant I'll have to work from up here on the platform instead of down there in the lobby where Bill Diamond will be working shortly. I'd like to call on a few more of our guests. I saw among the group here Jay Newland, an old friend of ours who's seen every corn show. And, Jay, I see you brought someone with you here.
Why, this is Walter Lewis from Oklahoma. He used to be in Marshall County, and he's field man for the American Friends Service Committee doing relief work for Europe.
Fine. I'm glad to know that we have an Oklahoma visitor here. Mr. Lewis, I'd like for you to step up here and, as an Oklahoman, just give your observation on this show, as it looks to you.
This is a marvelous exhibit. It's a revelation, the manner in which God has blessed the corn-producing areas of our nation. We should realize that God has a purpose in this outpouring of his bounties. These blessings have come to us as a sacred trust, to be used unselfishly in feeding the starving millions all over the world. Only as we share with those in need can we truly express our thanks to God for his wonderful goodness to us.
I'm sure you've expressed a thought for all of us. Now, very briefly, Mr. Lewis, What is the plan in which you and the Interchurch Council and others are working in gutting the corn for the relief in other countries?
We are setting up a relief campaign here in Iowa. The American Friends Service Committee is particularly working with the Farm Bureau Associations in the various counties for the collection of grain and funds for foreign relief. And the Interchurch Council is especially emphasizing the collection of the grain itself through the elevators.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. And in that connection, you'll be happy to learn that here at the WHO Festival, those exhibitors who are not asking their corn be returned to them are going to contribute that corn to your campaign. And now I think we have a few more reports here on results. Gene Meyer, wait a minute. I think Bill Diamond has a brief statement about the popcorn show. Let's go down to you there, Bill.
All right, Herb. I'd just like to point out there is no activity in the popcorn section right now. All the corn is on display. Yesterday, Professor J.C. Eldridge of Iowa State College was down here and popped a portion of each sample that was entered here. We had in the neighborhood of 40-some entries divided into the white and yellow type classes. The winners in those classes were Mr. O.E. Engel of Bondurant first in the yellow type class, and in the white hullless, D.W. White of Jefferson.
Right, that's fine. Now we have a few more reports here, among those from Gene Meyer. And Gene, will you give us the report on the champion five-year samples?
Harry Robinson of Derby, Iowa wins the WHO plaque for having the champion five-year sample, while Ralph Pym of Lucas had the reserve champion.
And do you have the name of the champion first-year exhibitor?
Yes, the first-year exhibitor winning the champion award was Harry Nims of Strahan, Iowa. And we also have the greatest distance entry here, Herb, that came from Rome, New York, sent in by Don Boardman.
All right, and the grand champion exhibitor of the entire show, winner of the beautiful sweepstakes trophy given by WHO, is Mr. D.W. White of Greene County. Mr. White, how long have you been farming?
I've been farming all my life, Herb, and I still live on the place that I was born on.
Well, fine. Mrs. White, yesterday on the Corn Belt Hour, you said that you'd we're afraid you'd never be able to get Mr. White off the farm because he liked to grow and show corn so well.
That's right.
Do you think you'll ever get him off now after he sees his beautiful trophies won here?
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid you'll have to retire on the farm.
I'm sure that won't be at all bad. Mr. White, how long have you been showing corn?
I've been showing corn probably 30 years, Herb.
Well, then you certainly are no novice at the game. Have you ever seen a show that impressed you like this one?
Well, no, Herb, you have a fine show here. It's equal to the Ames show, which we showed in for a number of years, for years and years.
All right, Mr. White, if you can step just a little bit closer to the microphone. All right, we'd like to get just a moment here for a picture. These photographers are working on us here, and we'll catch that in a minute. Now that you've seen this trophy, Mr. White, I'm wondering where you're going to put it.
I think, Herb, that'll go right in the front room.
I'm sure that it will. Mr. White, I take great pleasure in presenting to you this, a trophy emblematic of your being the champion exhibitor in this, the finest corn show that we have ever had the occasion to put on, the opportunity to put on. And again, I want you to know that with it goes our heartiest congratulations.
I take this trophy, Herb, and I want to thank you and WHO with all my heart for what you've done for this community with your corn show.
You've earned it, Mr. White.
And thank you very much, Herb Feinbeck. Ladies and gentlemen, the 10th Annual Radio Corn Festival will remain on display here at Hotel Kirkwood until 4 p.m. today. Visitors are welcome, and there is, of course, no admission charge. It's been a lot of fun broadcasting from this 10th Corn Festival display here, but our time is up, so we return you to our studio.